Welcome to Faith Forward Baptist Church. So good to see you all here for our Sunday night service. Find your seats, please, and take a psalm book. Go to hymn 134. We'll get started tonight. Hymn 134. Hymn number 134, My Anchor Holds. Hymn number 134. Once you find your place, sing it out with me on that first, Though the Angry Surges Roll. Hymn 134.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-riven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure, and it holds, my anchor holds. Lord, your wildest and no gale on my bark,
this service. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be able to gather together tonight here at church. And we pray, God, that you please fill Pastor Anderson with your spirit as he preaches your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Up to hymn number 317. Hymn 317. I'll live for him. Hymn number 317. 317 begins, my life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God. Hymn number 317. Sing it out together now.
My life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God, who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I'll live for him, who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I'll live for him, my life for me, my Savior. Thou dost receive, for thou
time, we'll go through our announcements together. If you don't have a bulletin, slip up your hand nice and high, and we'll get to you with one. On the inside, we have our service times. Sunday mornings at 10:30 is our preaching service. Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 is normally our Bible study. We would be in 2 Chronicles 36, but we've got Pastor Jonathan Shelley preaching this Wednesday night. So even if you don't normally come on Wednesday night, come out to hear Pastor Shelley this Wednesday, 7 o'clock as usual. And then we've got the report from the online soul winning marathon. This is from a randomized video chat software. And so they go on this website and they're having face-to-face conversations. So it's pretty much exactly like the soul winning you would do at the door, except you're just not going door to door. It's all just coming at you electronically. And so 59 salvations. They had a total of 8 soul winners on Saturday with 59 salvations. So great job to those who participated. And then below that is the note about just supervising your kids in the auditorium, making sure they don't tear the place apart. On the back, of course, we have a lot of free food on Wednesday nights typically, so keep an eye out for that. Expectant ladies, the list is there. Pray for them to be safe and healthy. And then below that, other upcoming events. We've got the donuts on the first Sunday of every month, as always. Pastor Corbin Ressel from down in Tucson is going to be preaching on Wednesday night, March the 12th at 7 p.m. And then the Bahamas Cruise Mission Trip, March 23rd to 28th. I know we have 20-some people signed up for that. And then I've also been running into people in other churches that we're talking about going on these trips as well. And then, of course, Steadfast is doing a big trip to the Bahamas. They're already there as we speak. They're going to be in Nassau tomorrow. And so really exciting, all the soul winning that's going on in the Bahamas. Be praying that it will be a really fruitful week for the crew from Steadfast Baptist Church. They're hitting 3 stops. They're going to the Bahamas, and then I think they're going to St. John's Antigua, I think it's called, and then somewhere in the U.S. Virgin Islands, I believe, as well. So 3 great destinations, and so I think it's going to be exciting to hear the reports of a lot of souls being saved, God willing. I think it's going to be a good one. All right, so that's about it for announcements. Let's go ahead and tally up the soul winning from the past few days. So anything to report from Thursday? Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. All right, anything else from Thursday? How about Friday? Okay, got it. Got it. Okay. Okay. And then anything else from Friday? And then Saturday, of course, we'll put down the 59 from the event. Anything outside of the event? Okay. All right, very good. Keep up the great work on... Oh, wait, we got to do today, sorry. Sunday, Brother Scott. 5 for the main team with Brother Scott. Other teams, gotcha. Anything else from today? All right. All right, very good. Keep up the great work on soul winning, and let's sing our next song. Come lead us.
All right, you should find the insert in front of your hymnal with the hymn entitled Still Sweeter Every Day. If you don't have an insert, please raise your hand. You'll receive one. We'll sing it on that first verse together. Still sweeter every day.
To Jesus every day I find my heart is closer drawn. He's fairer than the glory of the golden purple dawn. He's all my fancy pictures in his fairest dreams and more. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before. The star.
Turn to hymn 188, The Love of God, hymn number 188. We'll sing it on that first verse together, nice and strong. 188, The Love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Hymn number 188, lift your voice together now.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell.
At this time, we'll pass our offering plates around. As the plates go around, let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, as we always do, we'll read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. Follow along silently with Brother Corbin Brock as he reads Ecclesiastes 7, beginning in verse number 1.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou doest not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight for which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions.
Our Father in heaven, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and kindness to us each and every day. Lord, we ask that you would now bless the preaching of your word and help us prepare our hearts to receive it, that we may grow thereon. And we ask for your blessing now and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Man, the title of my sermon this evening is Rap Music, the Song of Fools. Rap Music, the Song of Fools. I'm not sure when rap music became mainstream, but apparently it is like the most mainstream form of music now. You walk around and you walk by people's vehicles, you have the window rolled down, and it just seems like everybody's bumping that rap music, red and yellow, black and white. They're all listening to it. You go down to the roller skating rink and it's, you know, top 20 or whatever, and it's a bunch of rap music. Super Bowl halftime show, rap music. It just seems like everybody is listening to rap music. And let me tell you something, rap music is the trashiest, filthiest, most derelict music that exists on this planet. Amen. Okay, now you say, well, you know, why are you picking on rap music? Obviously, look, I could get up and preach against a bunch of other stuff as well. I could preach against a bunch of other kinds of worldly music and talk about these really bad bands over here, these really bad artists over here. But let's face it, rap music is hands down the worst. If anybody's actually being honest, it's the absolute worst. In fact, I just went on Google and I just typed in, which genre of music is the most disrespectful to women? Now, here's the thing. These are searches that don't even really need to be done, because I think if anybody's honest and anybody has any common sense, they already know the answer to these questions pretty much. But I typed in, which genre of music is most disrespectful to women? Google responded, rap and hip hop. Which genre of music is the most violent? Rap and hip hop. Which genre of music talks the most about fornication? Rap and R&B. Which genre of music talks the most about drinking? Rap and hip hop. Which genre of music talks the most about drugs? This one kind of threw me for a loop because it came back country music. Now, I was actually out in public like a week ago, and I've always despised country music, but they were playing country music, and it was talking about smoking pot. And I remember thinking to myself, like, wow, you know, this country music is just all about smoking pot. And then, lo and behold, I Googled this, and yeah, that's what came up. I typed in, which genre of music is the most sexually explicit? R&B. Which genre of music talks the most about money? Rap, right? So virtually every category going down the list of just asking about all these sinful things. It's just rap music, hip-hop, rap, hip-hop, rap, hip-hop, over and over again. But did you really need me to do those Google searches? Look, even just when you just walk by that car with the window down and you just catch 3, 4, 5 lines of this stuff, it's usually very obscene, very vile, blasphemous, ungodly, you name it, it's coming out. So I typed into Google, and if you would, are you there in Ecclesiastes? Flip over, if you would, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And the verse we read from Ecclesiastes said, "It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." And when you listen to rap music, you're just getting idiotic trash poured into your brain. It's making you dumber every single time that you listen to it, filling your mind with wickedness, sin, bad philosophies, and just downright stupidity and foolishness. It's better to listen to the rebuke of the wise, like the wise man telling you to stop sinning and to start living a good life, than to hear this just glorification of sin that comes through rap music. So I went ahead and just Googled what's the most popular rap song in the United States right now. That's what I Googled. And Google said, as of February 13, 2025, the most popular rap song in the United States is "Not Like Us" by Kendrick Lamar, which Kendrick Lamar is someone that I've never heard of until recently, about him doing this Super Bowl performance or whatever. I've never heard of him. I'm not really familiar with these things in our generation. But I just pulled up the lyrics. I'm not going to listen to the song. I'm going to listen to this crap and get it stuck in my mind. And by the way, rap is short for crap. That's what I was taught as a child. But I didn't want to get this stuck in my mind, so I just went ahead and just pulled up the lyrics. And I identified just a whole bunch of sinful stuff just in this one song. It didn't take long. And these rap songs have a lot of lyrics because they're kind of just rattling things off. So it's you know, the lyrics go on and on. But it started getting blasphemous 6 lines in to the song. It said, quote, "Nail a nigga to the cross, he walk around like Tizo." Now, I don't know what Tizo means or who Tizo is, but, you know, who are they talking about nailing to the cross? It doesn't sound like Jesus that's being nailed to the cross, okay? And this guy, Kendrick Lamar, I also saw, had performed with a crown of thorns covered in blood, and he said, "Oh, I'm doing this to protest women losing right to have an abortion." So he was protesting and being pro-abortion, for murdering your baby, for killing a living human being by putting on a crown of thorns and being covered in blood or something. That is blasphemy. Let me tell you something. It's blasphemous for you to make light of God, Jesus, the crucifixion. Look, you should not be mentioning God unless you're talking to God or about God. And you better be talking about him respectfully, because hallowed is his name. Amen. And so you don't just dress up like him as some kind of a cosplay. You don't dress up like him for Halloween or something. It's wickedness to take the things of God that are sacred and holy and to drag them down into the profane like that. Yeah, you know, nail him to the cross. He walk around like Jesus. I don't even care what that means. It's a bunch of stupidity and retardation flowing out of these people's mouths. Line number 10. Beat your ass and hide the Bible if God watching. What is that? What is that talking about? I mean, what does that even mean? Right? If God's watching. God is watching. And why don't you shut up about God, Kendrick Lamar? Why don't you shut up about Jesus Christ? Why don't you shut your mouth and not take the name of the Lord your God in vain? And everybody's defending this guy, saying, "Oh, he's a Christian and he loves the Lord and everything like that." Folks, this is garbage. He's not a Christian. He's not saved. He is taking God's name in vain, and it doesn't make the music better to sprinkle in several references to God in every song, several references to Jesus. No, it just makes it more blasphemous. You know, it's like you devour widows' houses and then for a pretense you make long prayer, well, then you receive the greater damnation when you bring God and religion into your sin. Now, let's see what the Bible says about this. Look at Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, Mark 7, verse 20, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. And it's talking about what comes out of your mouth. And if you think about the whole genre of rap music, it's heavily just based on sort of just saying the first thing that comes to your mind. Like a lot of it is just improvised. It's done on the spot. It's impromptu. Isn't there a special word for that? Freestyle. Yeah, kind of just getting up and just freestyling and just blurting out whatever. And the more obscene it is, the more blasphemous it is, the more shocking and disrespectful it is, the better. This is how a lot of rap music comes from. It's really just flowing from the heart of man. Flowing at the mic, but it's a deceitfulness coming from the wicked, sinful heart of man, just flowing out of his mouth. And all these wicked things, they come from within, out of the man, and they defile the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. Folks, these could literally be the points of the sermon about rap music. These are literally the exact subjects with which rap music is going to deal. Thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, and here we go, blasphemy. Blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man, and this is never more evident than rap music, where everything on that list is just flowing out of the mouth of these rap artists. Look, I remember when I was a young person, rap music really came out or came on the scene, specifically gangsta rap came out when I was a young person. And I remember they would have these news reports where they were kind of raising the alarm and telling parents, do not let your kids listen to this stuff. And I mean, we're talking about this is the secular media. This isn't some kind of a Baptist pastor on TV or something. This was just the regular news media getting up and saying, do not let your kids listen to this evil music. It's glorifying everything that's violent, sinful, wicked, whether it's drugs, fornication, adultery, whatever. And of course, you know, one of the famous groups that really pioneered this is a group called NWA, right? And this is back then, that was kind of the big thing. And of course, they're controlled by some skeevy, evil Jewish manager who's like, you know, the one who's managing them and kind of pushing them to do all these things and making them popular and kind of pulling the strings behind the scenes. And I remember one of the people, and if I get facts wrong about this, don't get too upset at me because, you know, I'm not claiming to be an expert on hip-hop and rap. But I believe one of the artists from NWA is Dr. Dre. And I remember when I was a teenager, there was a Dr. Dre song that was very popular on the radio that was just all about committing adultery with another man's wife. I mean, that's what the song was about. The lyrics were very easy to understand. It was just glorifying the fact that he wants to commit adultery with another man's wife. Well, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says you should be put to death, Dr. Dre, because whoever lies with his neighbor's wife shall be put to death. And he wasn't just getting up and just singing about it like as a theory or something. This is a guy who's living that kind of lifestyle, and he's talking about those things, bragging about those kind of things, and these people are super wicked. And it always has been wicked. And just because now, instead of being on the news telling you don't let your kids listen to it, now it's just mainstream and let's just put it on TV and let's just all listen to this filthy rap music together, right? So that was the first thing as I was going through the lyrics of this song was blasphemy, right? The blasphemous references to Jesus and the cross and all these different things. But then number two, the second thing I found on the list was railing. Because the entire song is supposedly, I guess, directed at some other rap artist. And look, I'm not defending this other rap artist known as Drake, which, again, I'd never heard of in my life. But apparently this whole song is an attack on a different rap artist because they go back and forth or whatever. And I looked up some of Drake's lyrics, and his lyrics are just as filthy and evil and blasphemous and perverted and wicked. So I'm not defending this guy. But I will say this, that this song appears to be a railing accusation because it continuously accuses Drake of being a pedophile. I did a bunch of research. I couldn't find any evidence of that. I couldn't find anything substantial about that. I read every article that I could find, and it just seemed like this is just a railing accusation. Doesn't seem like there's been any kind of charges filed, any complaint filed. There's been nothing with law enforcement. This sounds to me like a railing accusation. And teenagers and kids and young people all over America are getting all excited, like, oh, yeah, call out that pedophile Drake. Ah, nah, nah. And look, I don't know if the guy's a pedophile or not, but is this what we're teaching our young people? Hey, let's just call people out and just call them a pervert and just call them a pedophile with no evidence of that. Because I asked a teenager that said this, I said, oh, really? So what's the evidence that he's a pedophile? What do you know about this? Can you give me any details? No. Isn't that just railing? And again, I'm not defending that. For all I know, he's the biggest pedophile in the world. But you know what? That's not the point. That isn't the point. The point is that we as Christians need to stand for justice and the rule of law and due process and actually following biblical principles before we start throwing around accusations and before we just believe things and just calling someone out and calling them these things without any kind of a basis for that. Hey, that's called railing. It's a serious sin. So not only did I find blasphemy, but, you know, I found a lot of railing in the song. Go, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 5:11, of course, says, I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one know not to eat. I mean, the Bible's saying, look, railers should be thrown out of the church. This is such a serious sin. It's up there with fornicating and drunkenness. Should be thrown out. And like I said, from all indications, I'm not claiming to be an expert, but again, I can't see any basis for these claims or any evidence that's being presented or any legal action that's being taken. This is just one guy just, oh yeah, well, you're a pedophile or something. Well, you know what? That's wicked to say that about someone unless it's actually true, right. Unless there's actually evidence for that, and that makes him a railer. And again, I'm not defending this other wicked, perverted artist because I could have just made the whole sermon just roasting Drake if I wanted to because he's just as evil and sinful. And you know what? I typed in, who are the top rap artists in America, and it listed a whole 10, 20 of them. They were all super wicked, evil, ungodly people. I typed in what was the most popular song in January. Pulled up the lyrics. Just totally obscene. I was like, well, I can't include any of this in the sermon. Because I don't even want to expose my congregation to this. So how can I even talk about these lyrics? And so look, honestly, I'm not going to be coming at you with a lot of lyrics tonight. Because you can't, right? Some people are probably already offended about the lyrics that I already read. And that was like the mildest stuff. But then these same people will go and they'll watch the Super Bowl and they'll watch the halftime show and they'll just take it all in. But it's like, oh, Pastor Anderson, how could you? So look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. And the thing I really want to home in on is this little group of four things that come right in a row. Envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Because what you're going to find in life is that these four things kind of go together. They're buddies. You know, this is kind of a little package deal. You get envy where one person envies someone else, or that means that they wish that they had what that person has, or they wish they had the success, or whatever. They covet the things that that person has. So then there's a strife there, right? Because of that pride and envy causes them to fight with that person or have friction with that person. And then, because they really want to win the argument, then they resort to railing, where they just start, oh, yeah, well, you know, you're a pedophile or something. And then you get to the evil surmisings where it's an imagination of, oh, I'll bet this is what he's into. I'll bet that's what he does. Oh, I'll bet this is what's going on. It's where you start guessing, right? And it's so hilarious to me when people act like the KJV is archaic and they'll bring up a word like surmise or surmising. But yet I was reading a novel that was published like 3 years ago and it used the word surmise in it. Like this is just, it's called just having a vocabulary, folks. It's not archaic. It's just you don't read, you know, is what I want to say to some of these guys. But, you know, what's a surmising is when you are kind of just connecting dots in your mind and using your imagination. And so railers typically engage in evil surmising. They'll start guessing. Well, I'll bet he does this. I'll bet she does this. And again, I'm not even going to bore you with these lyrics. But in the lyrics, that's what you find. You find railing, and then you find a lot of just, oh, well, I'll bet it's this. Well, I'll bet you did this. I'll bet you do this, too. That's called evil surmising. Envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. That's this little feud between these little rappers, you know, saying all these things about each other. So the first sinful thing I found in the lyrics was blasphemy. The second thing I found was railing. And then the third thing I found was filthy communication. And again, I can't show you the examples because it was just like obscene, perverted lyrics that, you know, shouldn't be uttered in the house of God. And so I'm not going to say those things. But here's what the Bible says. It says, now you also have put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, right? We should not have filthy communication in our mouth. If you would turn over to Jude, second to last book of the Bible. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And so I would say filthy communication, corrupt communication. You know, what does the Bible say? It says it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And so when you're talking about the bedroom and you're talking about people's anatomy and you're talking about strange forms of fornication and stuff, that's a filthy communication. And that's the kind of stuff that is in these lyrics. But the fourth sin that I found in just this one, and this is just one song, and I didn't go find the worst possible song. I guarantee you, those of you out there who've been exposed to a lot of rap music, you're thinking like, oh man, Pastor Anderson isn't even scratching the tip of the iceberg. If he thinks Kendrick Lamar is obscene, what about this guy? What about this? You know, you could probably name 10 artists that are more obscene. Remember, this guy's touting himself as a Christian. Okay, I guarantee you there's way filthier examples. This is just random. This is just what happens to be what's popular right now. Just pick one song and it's full of sin. Here's the fourth sin that I found is bringing a railing accusation against the devil. And I found this repeatedly in his music where he was saying things against the devil. And you say, well, what's wrong with that, man? You know, we should rebuke Satan and all this. Now, listen, thou Pentecostal one, the Bible specifically prohibits us from railing on the devil or bringing a railing accusation against Satan. We're supposed to realize that Satan is much greater in power and might than we are, and that we're not supposed to try to engage in some kind of combat with Satan in that way, where we start mouthing off about Satan. Because here's the thing about that is that when it comes to Satan and demons and things, we don't really understand all that, do we? The Bible doesn't really give us a whole lot of detail. And we, if we start talking about that stuff, are probably just going to say a bunch of stupid, irrelevant things. And honestly, we probably don't want to face off with the devil because he's probably way smarter and more powerful than we are. And so we just would rather that God just protects us from all that. And that's why even look what the Bible says in Jude verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities, right? So false prophets and reprobates, and obviously they're not the only ones who do this, but they tend to have this thing where they will kind of just throw things out there about Satan or against Satan or something. Yet Michael the archangel, verse 9, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now, the word durst, obviously, is a difficult, archaic word, means dared, right? So it's saying he dared not to bring against the devil a railing accusation. He didn't dare do that. So why would we, who are less powerful, we're a little lower than the angels, the Bible says, why would we dare to bring a railing accusation against Satan if not even Michael the archangel would dare to do that? But we don't want to be just overly bold in that regard. It says, not even Michael would do that, but these, verse 10, speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. And so we don't want to speak evil of things that we don't understand. We don't want to bring a railing accusation against Satan. You know, and I don't even know what this lyric even means, but this is the lyric that I found in the song. Devil is a lie, he a 69 God, I don't even know, what does that mean, he a 69 God? What is that? Is that some perverted reference? I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to know. And you know what's funny is you have all these seemingly intelligent people on the internet this week like, oh, you know, if you analyze his lyrics, they're actually really deep. I mean, he's really a poet. He's really a literary giant walking amongst us. No, he's an idiotic fool just flowing garbage out of his mouth, whatever comes to his mind. And it's a bunch, it's, you know what, it's like these literature teachers, they find like more stuff in works of art than is actually even there. Like they could explain the author what he meant sometimes because they find all this like symbolism and stuff in books. And sometimes you're kind of like, oh, that's a little bit of a stretch. You know, I mean, I'm sure that there's some in some left-wing idiotic university somewhere, there's probably some class where you can study the lyrics of these rap artists, and some like PhD crusty professor is going to be like, oh man, you know, this is so deep. It's such a commentary on our society, you know, and I'm sure he could explain to us what it means when he says that the devil is, quote, a 69 God. Okay, that's, you know what I think? I think it doesn't mean anything because I think that the person who came up with that lyric is just a moron just saying whatever crap comes to his mind, whatever the drugs have fried the circuit in his brain to just say something stupid. And I don't think we should try to seek meaning in the word of fools. Oh, so, you know, oh, it's a spiritual journey with this guy. And he's telling you all about his, you know, he's not really dogmatic about doctrine. It's more of just like his spiritual journey. So basically, it's somebody who doesn't care what the Bible says, aka doctrine. What the Bible teaches, it's just him just uttering all his heart. The fool utters all his heart, right? The fool has no interest in learning. He just wants his heart to be able to discover itself. I just want to tell everybody what's in my heart. No, why don't we tell people what the Bible actually says? I can't find that verse in my Bible about the devil. Sounds to me like just another railing accusation against the devil by a bozo. But the first thing I wanted to say tonight is that, number one, rap music is filled with sinful lyrics. We could pick almost any song, and it's just sin, 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 sin. And you say, why are you picking on rap? I told you, I Googled, what is the most violent genre? What is the most disrespectful to women? What is promoting fornication, etc.? And it was virtually all rap music taking the cake. You know, and then AI tries to apologize for it. Well, of course it's rap and hip-hop, but, you know, other songs do it too. Yeah, okay. I asked you which one is the most, AI. Why don't you just shut up and answer the question? I don't need your little context or whatever. And full disclosure, I've never, like, used AI or ChatGPT or anything, but this is just when you Google it, AI comes in and is like, hey, can I help? And you're just like, okay, whatever. But number two, flip over if you would to 1 John chapter 2. So number one, rap music is filled with sinful lyrics. But number two, rap music is based on pride. Rap music is a super prideful form of music. And it's kind of ironic because this bozo that I'm preaching about, apparently his first album was called Humble. Yeah, right. Rap music's based on pride. The Bible says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And when we think about these three categories, the lust of the flesh, this could be something you know, on the mild end, it could be something like gluttony, right? Lust of the flesh could also be something to do with fornication or adultery or drugs or drunkenness, right? Gratifying the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, right? And we could find all the rap music that glorifies the lust of the flesh, couldn't we? And then the lust of the eyes has to do with covetousness, right? Having that evil eye and coveting what belongs to other people, whether it's coveting your neighbor's wife, coveting your neighbor's house, car, the love of money, which is the root of all evil, right? That falls under the lust of the eyes, covetousness. And then we've got the pride of life. And of course, all we have to do is just look at just the way that these artists will pose. And obviously, we could do the same thing for other genres as well. Just all of the poses and the proud look, the Bible calls it, right? Just having that insolent, proud look on their face. I'm so cool. But, you know, the other thing is that basically rap music is probably the music genre where they talk about themselves the most. Because if you think about it, you could listen to a lot of music where you would never hear the name of the artist in the song. You know what I'm talking about? Like, whereas like a rap artist, I guess you're always going to figure out who you're listening to because they just talk about themselves and just keep calling their own name and praising themselves and talking about themselves. And here's what the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Psalm 10 verse 3 says, the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. 2 Timothy 3, 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, right? Just blasphemous and boasting and prideful and praising yourself. That's what I think of when I think of rap music. These six things does the Lord hate? Is seven are an abomination unto him? The first thing on the list, a proud look. And so God hates pride. So here's some more lyrics. I just Googled some more lyrics of Kendrick Lamar. Here's the lyric, quote, I'm so hot, kids put me in their iPod. Even atheists play my beep and say, my God, Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, he's nice. Don't compare me to them. Just compare me to Mike Jordan. Okay, first of all, these lyrics are stupid. They sound stupid. There's no poetry to it. It's just some idiot just saying whatever comes to his mind. But notice, oh, I'm so hot. I'm so cool. This is a common theme in all this music. And then he says, oh, I'm so cool that even atheists are taking God's name in vain about my music. I mean, think about how weird and blasphemous this is to say, well, I'm so hot that even atheists are saying, oh, my God. And let me tell you something. Do not say, oh, my God, as an expletive. Amen. Do not do that. Even if you are a child of God, a Bible-believing Christian, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Amen. Okay? Again, the word God should only come out of your mouth if you're talking about God or talking to God. That's it. You shouldn't just say, oh my God, just something to say. And people do this all the time. Yeah. Do not say it. It's a bad habit. If you've had that habit, break the habit. Break the habit, right? Just decide, hey, I need to stop saying that. Okay? Because of the fact that God is a name. Sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses. God is a name. Okay? God is translating the Hebrew word Elohim, which is a name. God is also translating the Hebrew word Jehovah, which is a name. God is also translating the name El Shaddai, right? God Almighty, which is a name. Everything in the original languages that is being translated into English in the Old Testament as God is a name. His name is God. His name is the Lord. His name is the Lord God. His name is God Almighty. These are all his names. His name is the Lord of hosts. His name is Jesus. Amen. Do not misuse names for God. And obviously we know that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is that second person of the Trinity. whereas the other names that we mentioned refer to God in general. But either way, you should not take Christ's name in vain either, because when you're taking Christ's name in vain, you're taking the name of the Lord your God in vain, because Jesus is my Lord and my God. That's what Thomas said. And Jesus thanked him for it and didn't rebuke him for it. He told him he was right when he called him my Lord and my God. So if Jesus is my Lord and my God, I'm not going to take Jesus' name in vain either. I don't want to take any of those names in vain. And so therefore, yelling out Jesus as an expletive, let me tell you something. I am less offended by any form of cussing or profanity or whatever. The worst is Jesus' name in vain. Yeah. God's name in vain is the worst, right? And we live in a society that will censor all these other words, but then they're just totally fine with just Jesus and God's name being thrown around. Hey, it's wicked. And as Christians, and look, you say, oh, well, you're kind of getting on me. Well, you know what? You got to work on this. You got to get this out of your life. Get those names of blasphemy out of your mouth and do not use God's name in vain. What does in vain mean? In vain means with no purpose. You don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Like you're basically saying God's name for no reason. That's called using God's name in vain. Because in vain means there's no motive, there's no purpose, there's nothing's being accomplished. Whereas if I'm talking about God, it's appropriate. If I'm talking to God, it's appropriate. But just saying God's name just to fill out a lyric or to say, oh man, I'm so hot. Kids put me in their iPod. And even atheists play my ex. And you know, he's right about his music, calling it this word. He says, even atheists play my, you know, dung and say, my God, right? Joseph, or my God, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. So now we're taking Joseph and Mary's names in vain? What is that about? The whole thing is stupid. All right, let's move on to the next wonderful lyric. I spread love like a hippie, but I'm a black one. With Jesus Christ's passion, I swear on the Bible. Okay, so here's the thing about that is that the Bible literally says, swear not at all. It says, swear not at all, neither by heaven, nor by earth, nor by any other oath. Let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. And then the Bible says in James chapter, so first of all, Jesus Christ said, swear not at all. Then in the epistle of James chapter 5, he says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not. And so this thing of swearing on the Bible or I swear to God is something that the Bible specifically tells us not to do. Say, oh, you're just being nitpicky. Oh, that's right. What the Bible says doesn't matter. We don't care what the Bible says, right? We just decide that everything that the Bible says is just nitpicky and petty and minor. No, my friend, if the Bible literally says, above all things, my brethren, swear not. Unimportant. Like, isn't it hilarious how people read the Bible? They read the Bible. Above all things, my brethren, swear not. This isn't a big deal. Let me ask them, is above all things mean it's a big deal or a little deal? Here, I'm giving you all these commandments. Hey, but most of all, man, don't swear. And again, when we say swear, we're not talking about what the world calls cussing. That's not what we're talking about. Swearing is where you say, like, I swear to God that I'm telling the truth, or something, you know, I swear on. And by the way, this is why when you go to court and they want to swear you in, or they want you to swear to tell the whole truth, you can actually do it instead. You can do it as an affirmation instead, because that's why even in the Fourth Amendment, it says that it has to be warrants upon oath or affirmation, right? In that Fourth Amendment. Why does it say that? Because when our country was founded, a lot of people are like, well, I don't swear oaths. And so they're like, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? They're like, I'm not going to swear that, because the Bible says, above all things, my brethren, swear not. Yeah. Swear not at all. So this is what they say. You can make an oath or an affirmation. So if you go to court, you can say, I affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you don't have to invoke the name of God. You can just say, I affirm to do that. And you let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Here's another This is from a wonderful song called The Last Real N-Word Alive. Here's the lyric. Lord have mercy, Jesus Christ, he's just nice, he just slice like a Ginsu. This is not poetry. This is not art. You know, I was trying to think of a lower art form than rap music, and I came up with the knock-knock joke as being, you know, like the rap music is basically one step above a knock-knock joke for just being a low art form. You know what I'm saying? You know, because let's face it, knock-knock jokes are pretty lame. He just nice. He just slice like a Ginsu. Folks, no. If you want to say that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, great. But don't say, he nice, he slice like a Ginsu. It's just stupid and blasphemous. Okay, this is not respectful or giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, in these same songs, you're going to find all kinds of filthy, perverted things. You'll find like a lyric about God and Jesus, and then Christians are like all excited, like, oh, he's talking about God, it's so wonderful. And then like five lines later, it's just some gross, perverted lyric. Well, you know, I mean, he's not exactly, you know, living for Christ, but you know. No, he's just dressing up like Jesus while campaigning for murdering babies. Other than that, he's a wonderful person. But lastly, this point, rap music glorifies foolishness. It glorifies foolishness. Proverbs 12:23 says this, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. You know, the Bible says the foolishness of fools is folly. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Let me tell you something. This has got to be the stupidest music, the stupidest artists, the stupidest lyrics ever. Yeah. Okay? And it's just people are just eating this up, listening to it, and the last thing you want is for your kids to be listening to this. Do not allow your children, do not allow your teenagers to listen to rap music. You know, I know I sound like an early 90s TV broadcast right now, but it's true. Okay? This stuff is not going to make them smarter. It's not going to bring them closer to God. It's not going to make them glorify the right things. It's glorifying everything that's wrong. Fornication, drugs. And look, let's face it, okay? It's coming out of a failed culture. And I already preached a whole sermon on this called hip-hop culture in light of the Bible. Hip-hop culture in light of the Bible. I already preached it many years back when I was in Los Angeles. You know, it's coming out of a failed culture. And you know what? A lot of people would say like, oh, you know, you just don't like rap music because you're racist or something, right? But here's the thing. I've preached against other wicked cultures too. I mean, I preached a sermon called Iceland, the Nation of Bastards. So, I mean, are they black? That's like the whitest people in the world. It doesn't get any whiter than Iceland, folks. I preached a sermon called The Sinful Nation of France. I mean, look, I've called, because when I preached that hip-hop sermon, I had multiple people email into the church and complain and say, you know, I'm a huge fan of your preaching, but why single out? When have you ever singled out another wicked culture? And I'm just like, I just had a whole list of like Iceland, France, you know, all this different stuff. You know, I just go down the list. But here's the thing. Let's face it. Let's just face the facts tonight, okay? When we talk about, because people want to make this all about race or something. First of all, maybe it was about race when I was a kid, but like I just finished telling you, now rap music has become mainstream. Yeah. It's not even restricted to black people anymore. Anyway, and I don't know if it ever was, but I mean, now it's mainstream. Yeah. Red, yellow, black, and white are listening to it, producing it. It's I think it has transcended that by now, unfortunately, okay, to where it's pretty ubiquitous and it's not really about, you know, a certain race or something like that. And here's the thing about that is that, you know, I've known a lot of classy, intelligent, wonderful black people over the years. But you know what they all had in common? They were not into the hip-hop culture. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we've all known wonderful examples of black people. And guess what? They're not these hip-hop thugs, are they? You know, and I feel like a lot of racism comes from people not really having enough positive examples of a certain group of people in their life. You know, so they went through their life and they only had negative examples with a certain group of people, and then it makes them hate that whole group of people because they haven't had enough positive examples. And you know, I had a relative from my extended family who was pretty racist, and you know, he came out to visit us and he was saying all this really racist stuff, and I'm trying to tell this guy, I'm like, "Hey, you know, that's not how it is, man. You know, there are a lot of great people and whatever." And so we took him to the park and he got to see all these examples of really nice people of other races, nice families and everything. He got to see them like living their lives. And I'm like, "Look at these people. Like, do these look like trashy people? Do these look like derelicts to you?" No. So I showed him all these positive examples. Then he came to our church and met a bunch of positive examples at our church and everything. And he walked away saying, "You know what? You're right." He said, "Where I'm from, I just haven't been exposed to that. I'm just exposed to these weird, like, Muslim refugee, skeevy, whatever, bad examples." He'd only been exposed to bad examples. And here's the thing. By the way, you want to get some good examples of classy, respectful, nice black people? Go to the Caribbean and go soul winning. And we go to the Caribbean, and when we go soul winning in the Caribbean, newsflash, everybody's black. Yeah. I don't know if you know this about the Bahamas. Everybody's black. Cayman Islands, everybody's black. These places we're going, Turks and Caicos, you know, they're black people. You know, maybe you didn't put that together. When we go on all these mission trips and talk about going to the Caribbean and everything, I don't know what you think we do down there, but we're basically witnessing to black people the whole time. And you know what? The black people are super, like, well-dressed, clean-cut, respectful. Yeah. Daniel, am I telling the truth? Right? Now, this is not about Jamaica. And Jamaica is trash. Okay, I didn't mention Jamaica. I said Bahamas. I said Cayman Islands. I said Turks and Caicos. Okay. But I'm telling you, you will see hundreds of good examples, thousands of positive examples, right? This is not about color, my friend. It is about culture, okay? Because you know what? If you get rid of the hip-hop culture, you know what? Black culture in America will improve. Black people's lives will improve. And you know what? I guarantee you, you get the hip-hop culture into white people's earbuds, their lives are going to go down the toilet, okay? And the more this music takes over in our culture, the more sinful, wicked things are going to become normalized in our culture. And it's not about white versus black. And look, yeah, we could get on a bunch of other, you know, we could get on, you know, "I'm preaching against country music tonight, you know, Beyonce." No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, the point is that I'm not going to get up here and say that, you know, rap music's the only music you shouldn't let your kids listen to. But it's kind of like, it's kind of just the no-brainer, though. You know, different people have different rules and different standards about where they're going to draw the line about music, how strict they are about what they're going to allow. But, I mean, shouldn't it just be a given that rap music is off the table? I mean, wow. It's just so far out there. And so, look, this isn't about color. This isn't about race. Because let's face it, obviously black people have made a lot of contributions to a lot of other musical genres over the years. You know, so it's just obviously rap music is maybe associated with inner city black ghettos. But let me ask you this. Are inner city black ghettos positive examples of American culture? Or let me ask this, would you like to live in an inner city black ghetto?
No.
Because I'll tell you this, you know, when I went to Bible college out in Indiana, you know, 20 years ago, And I got involved in a ministry. We were allowed to pick whatever ministry we wanted to get involved in. There were all kinds of bus routes and different things. I got involved in what was called the Black Chapel Ministry. And even before I went to Hiles Anderson College, I already decided, because I'd heard about this new ministry that had just started to the inner city black community in South Chicago. And when I first heard about this ministry, I was like, man, when I go to Hiles Anderson, I want to be in that ministry. Like, that sounds like a really cool ministry. So I already went down there. Like, I already had that in my head. First day I got there, I met a guy, and he's like, oh, you know, I run one of those Black Chapel ministries. I'm like, dude, I want to join your ministry. Great. So I joined, like, the first day that I got there. And while I was there, every single weekend, I would go both Saturday and Sunday to the worst ghetto in America. And, you know, maybe you could argue that it's somewhere else. But when I was there, it had the most murders of any city in America. It was like 599 murders that year or something. And so it was, South Chicago was number one, and it was considered the worst ghetto in America. I'm sure, you know, you could argue and bring up something else, but it's top five. I think we can all agree on that. And I went there every Saturday for several hours soul winning. And I went there every Sunday for several hours, preaching and teaching the people there. And let me tell you something. This neighborhood was bad. It was bad, okay? And I went there every weekend, 2 days a week, for 2 years of my life. Tons of soul winning. And look, it was receptive. We got a lot of people saved, a lot of people baptized. You know, we got to really help out a lot of the kids and teenagers and teach them some godly things, because most of them didn't have a dad in their lives. And so they kind of needed role models and people to come in and teach them stuff and help them. And we would take them to the barber, get them a haircut, take them to the thrift store, get them clothes and stuff, try to get them dressing nicer, and kind of just showing them a different way to live their lives and trying to be a positive example to them. But I mean, you'd go into these homes, and virtually every home is run by a woman, because, you know, they are the welfare recipients or whatever. And so they're the ones getting the housing or whatever, the stipends. And so you'd have these households that are based around a woman, and she's got a fiance that lives with her. It's not a husband. It's not a boyfriend. It's always a fiance. But what's funny is you'd be there for, like, I was there for a couple of years, and over the course of a couple of years, I'd see the same fiance at different houses. I'm like, wait, this guy's your mom's fiance? Because, you know, 6 months ago, it was this other kid in my Sunday school class. It was his mom's fiance. And so it's just like, you're kind of seeing the same guy in all these different houses, and you're just like, what the, you know? Folks, I remember giving the gospel in this neighborhood and literally watching just a cockroach crawl across someone's face while I gave them the gospel in their living room. I'm just giving the gospel in the living room. Woman is just sitting there, and she's just got a cockroach walking across her face. And it was just like kind of the most normal thing in the world. I mean, the stench, this every single door that we went to just stank so bad. Just a horrible smell. You just got used to it, though, after a while. You just got used to the smell. And, you know, we'd be preaching the gospel and winning souls. And you don't love black people. I've won more black people, Lord, than you have. You know, I mean, I'm sure maybe somebody here won more than me. I'm not talking to you. But I guarantee you, whoever's here that's won more black people, Lord, because I'm sure that there are, I guarantee that there's somebody in the auditorium here who's won more black people, Lord, than I have. But that person's not offended by my sermon right now. The people that are offended by my sermon right now are a bunch of just these little holier-than-thou virtue signalers that just want to talk about how much they love everybody, but they don't actually put any action to that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I chose the black ministry. Why did I choose that ministry when I could choose whatever ministry I wanted? If I didn't love black people, I wouldn't have gone to that ministry. I would have chose to reach people that I liked. But you know what? I liked the people that I was reaching in the black ghetto. And by the way, everyone was black. I never saw a white person the entire time I was there, except for, like, outside contractors that would be visiting to do work or something. There was not a single resident in this area, in my district of my chapel ministry that was not black. It was because Chicago is a very segregated city. It's not like in Phoenix where it's all just mixed. It was just, you're in the black area. Everybody's black. You know, there's another area that's like a Polish area. It's like a Jewish area. It's like an Italian area. It's very different. But look, I saw things that were rough in these neighborhoods. It was, but just overall, you want to know what it was like? It was dirty. It smelled bad. High crime. Violent. People are constantly being murdered. Drugs everywhere. Alcohol everywhere. Poverty everywhere. Trash everywhere. So I have an idea. Why don't we take the culture of that neighborhood and then let's pump it into our suburban headphones? How does that make any sense? Like, can someone explain that to me? Like, let's take a culture that comes out of that, let's take music that comes out of that neighborhood, that culture, that mentality, that way of life, and then let's bring that into the homes of successful people of all colors, right? And let's just bring that music into the homes of successful, God-fearing people so that their teenagers can listen to a glorification of some dirty, sleazy, fornicating, drug-induced gang lifestyle. Look, what does the Bible say about gangs? Read Proverbs chapter 1. Gangs are wicked. Gangsters are wicked. Criminals are wicked. Pimps are wicked. It's wicked to be a prostitute. It's wicked to run prostitutes. It's wicked to drink and to do drugs and to do all these things. It's wicked to father a bunch of children and not be there for them. You're supposed to be there in the home raising your children. And you know what? Don't kill the messenger. That is a failed culture. That is a failed neighborhood. Those are failed systems, and we should not want to glorify them or emulate them in any way. Oh, that ghetto life. Why would you want to be ghetto? I don't want to be ghetto. I'd rather be classy. And look, people that grow up in the ghetto, I feel bad for them. That's why I was trying to go there and win as many of them to Christ as I could, at least get them saved. At least they get to go to heaven. Even if they live in a filthy sty on this earth, they can have a mansion in heaven. Right? And hopefully, if we could teach these children and teenagers biblical principles and God's word, they could grow up. And thankfully, in America, we live in the land of opportunity. They have access to all kinds of ways to improve their lives and learn skills and get educated and get a trade and get out of there and do something better with their life and get out of that neighborhood. Okay? And look, you can sit there and you know, you get these little like, these little left-wing white liberals that are just all like pious and everything, they don't want to live in that neighborhood. You think they want to live in that neighborhood? I would never want to live in that neighborhood. It would be scary to live in that neighborhood. You know, I was there typically in the daytime. And the weirdest, most wicked, criminal, evil people were typically asleep and only coming out at night. So we were talking to the nice, normal people who are actually awake and do and active in the daytime. I went there a couple times at night, just me and my, because, you know, when you're young and stupid, this is the kind of stuff you do. Me and my ministry leader that I met on the first day, we had a tradition every 6 months, we would go there and go soul winning there in the middle of the night just to show how bad we were. So that I'm just, obviously it was a dumb thing to do, but this is how young people think, you know. And we would go there, we'd be soul winning at like 11, 12 at night, shirt and tie, and walking down the street, and people thought that we were just absolutely insane. And they're just like, what are you doing here at this hour? Like, are you trying to, you just want to die? But we, you know, we always got people saved. It was always fun, but kids, don't try this at home. But man alive, but you know why I think we were safe even when we went there in the middle of the night soul winning, you know, occasionally? I think it's because we had ties on and we're holding Bibles in our hands. And there was sort of an idea of, well, these are preachers and we don't have a problem with them. Or maybe even a little bit of grudging respect since a lot of the black culture is Baptist. Even if they're not saved or believe in it or religious at all, there's kind of just like, oh, you know, we're Baptist or whatever. And so I think that's probably what protected us. You know, I don't think I would have gone, I should, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to go through those swamps of sadness, you know, without this right here. to protect me. Because I think this is what protected me, is being there with the gospel, Bible in my hand, shirt and tie. You know, nobody messed with us because we were there just doing the Lord's work, just preaching the gospel. And so I literally only had one, in over 2 years, I had one person try to pick a fight with me one time. In the daytime, some guy just yelled something at me, and I just said nothing. And it was over that fast. That was the scariest thing that ever happened. It was nothing. But man, I wouldn't want to live there, though. I wouldn't even feel safe going to bed at night in that neighborhood. That neighborhood was scary. And it was dirty. It smelled bad. It was trashy. And you know what? The best thing for people to do who live in that neighborhood would be to grow up and get out of that neighborhood. And not get out of that neighborhood by stealing and making a bunch of money by stealing, or get out of the neighborhood by selling drugs to get out of the neighborhood, or by producing filthy hip-hop music for your little Jew controller. No, the right way to get out of that neighborhood is through diligence and hard work. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. All of us have challenges in our lives, but that's what needs to happen, unfortunately. I devoted years of my life to helping that exact specific demographic. You know, and I'm still going out and reaching the black people of this world in the Caribbean and stuff. So you know what? But just because I love black people and just because I want them to be saved doesn't mean I'm not going to get up and say that the hip-hop culture is trash and that this kind of American inner-city black hip-hop culture is wicked and it is not helping them and it's not helping the white people to get into it either. It's not helping anybody. And this is something that we should eschew. And we need to be filling our minds with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, and the last thing we need to be filling our minds with is rap music. You know, if you want to do like a spectrum, what you really should be filling your mind with over here, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and then like the worst thing you could be listening to, and I'm sure, yeah, we could find some weird, you know, satanic faggot music somewhere, I'm sure. You know, Marilyn Manson or something. Yeah, we, you know what? And that is a sermon that we could preach. But here's the thing. Rap music is right there as being some of the worst trash. And so, you know, I hope that you will just think about this. And if you have rap music in your life, get it out of your life. You say, well, you know, I'm listening to rap music that the lyrics aren't like that. But the problem is, though, you're training your mind to love a genre where 99% of it is like that. So even if you find this one clean example and you're like, well, hey, I have this one clean example of rap music and that, you know, but you're training your brain, especially as a young person, because your musical taste kind of gets set for life when you're a teenager, 20s. If you ever notice people always listen to that, they always kind of revert back to that music from when they were a kid. Do you really want to train your brain to love a genre where 99% of it is like that? And you know that I'm telling the truth. That all, we could look at the top 30 songs, top 30 artists, top 30 albums, it's going to be bad, and you know it. So yeah, you know, I could go into the trash can, and I could dig out something edible from the trash can that would be nutritious for me, but it's not really the best place to get my food when 99% of what's there is going to make me sick or kill me. And so you do not want to even be trained to like this kind of music. And so if you have this in your life, get it out of your life. And you children and teenagers, you know, listen to me. This music, you might just think, oh, I can just listen to this all day. It's going to have no effect on me. It's forming your worldview. It really is. Like, our music forms our worldview. The things that we hear, the entertainment, the books that we read, all of it is forming our worldview. Do you want to have a worldview of slums and ghettos and places where people are failing in life, where they need missionaries to come in and try to help them and pull them out of that trash? No, you know, you need to fill your mind with something that's going to give you a godly worldview. Fill your mind with the Word of God, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that should dominate your worldview. And not filling your mind with the devil's trash. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord God, we just pray that you would just help us all to beware of what comes into our eyes and what comes into our ears. And Lord, help us to reach the black communities of this world that are struggling and that are in despair today, Lord. Help us to love them and to bring them the gospel and to win them to Christ, Lord. And help us to go to the mission field and win even more people to Christ. And Lord God, I just pray that you would just bless us as we go our separate ways this week. Help us to keep you in all of our thoughts and meditate upon your word throughout our week as we serve you and live lives that would be pleasing to you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, take your hymnals, please. Go to hymn 312, hymn number 312. Open my eyes that I may see. Hymn number 312. We get together on that first now. 3, 1, 2. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Hymn number 312. Sing it out now.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth.